Shop Woodhouse Ford first and experience the difference today. Our sales staff is here to make sure you find your perfect car, truck, or SUV. Visit one of our three convenient locations in Blair, Omaha, or Plattsmouth, or shop online at woodhouse.com. Woodhouse Ford, build Ford proud.
So I'm just going to play into this, the Big Ten trying to shoehorn 8 games in 8 weeks in the regular season into this scenario. You know, they're betting on Ohio State being in the playoff. Ohio State more than likely has to go unbeaten. I mean, they have Penn State and Michigan on their schedule. They are a 2-touchdown favorite in State College on Saturday night. And then Michigan is going to be a challenge. That'll be at the end of the year. But little margin for error for Ohio State. They basically have to roll through the schedule. But how about this? Because of what the Big Ten is doing, and you have to play 6 games to be eligible for the championship game. Remember, we got this tight little package of 8 weeks to play 8 games. You cannot reschedule games. I think the division games are important. I'm going to continue to say, I wonder if there's an opportunity to take out a crossover and move in a division game, being how this is a division game that got interrupted. But let's say Wisconsin finds a way to play, and, you know, they don't play this week, so they're down to 7, just like Nebraska. Maybe they don't play next week against Purdue. They're down to 6. They're on the threshold of not being able to play in the championship game. What if they lose another game? The team from the East, if it's Ohio State, would they be taking on a team from the West that is not even the best team in the West? And how would that impact their optics for a playoff berth? I'm just spitballing here after a morning in which Wisconsin pauses activities and they cannot play. I mean, it's only the beginning. It's week 2. This game gets taken off the board. What are the odds of teams completing a full season? I think there'll be a lot of teams that only play 6 games. So developing situation in Madison, I think that 12 number that has been reported will go a little bit higher. Will we hear more later today or first thing tomorrow? Who knows? But I think it'll go higher. All right. We return to the phones. Here is Yuri. Yuri, thanks for the call. Welcome to the Gary Sharp Show.
How's it going, man?
Good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. Just walking my route.
Oh, yes.
So I normally don't call in a lot because I just hate the way I sound on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But you made the comment about the Halloween movies and the sequels being bad. I got to argue with you on that just a little bit.
All right.
I would actually argue that probably 4, 5, and 6 is the best out of them.
Okay.
Well, first off, you just got to take 3 out of there because it's not a Halloween movie.
Yes.
4, 5, and 6 is the return to Michael Myers and him going after his niece, who was Jamie's, or his niece Jamie, who is Lori's daughter because Lori died, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I actually argue those were probably the best of the series. The problem is 7, when that came out, they decided to reboot things. And one line in that whole series just negates those movies. Because they say they haven't seen Michael in 20 years.
Yep.
But it would actually work because she says in 7 that she faked her death.
That's true. You know what? That's true. Now, I will tell you, Yuri, and you know what? I'm not going to argue with you. I love the original. And,
it is good, yeah.
And I know that, okay, so you're going to follow up with 2. I don't think, you know what? I honestly believe that when they first made Halloween and how great the original was, I don't think they expected it to be the phenomenon that it became. And so all of a sudden you got to make 2, you got to make 3, and then someone said, "Man, you're ruining the original." And then they kind of, you know, refocused, took some time off. But
the actual one that killed it though is Resurrection number 8 with Busta Rhymes.
That is true. Yes. Yes.
My wife and I run through the Halloween movies every Halloween season. We just finished the main series. We got the 2 Rob Zombie ones to watch this week.
Wow.
And the other problem is you got so many different timelines, it's hard to keep track of everything. So
That is true. Nothing beats the original. And then they were hit and miss like a lot of sequels.
Yeah.
All right. True. How are things out on the streets, Yuri?
Oh, not too bad. At least it's not bitterly cold.
True.
Out here, but other than that, not too bad.
Hey, you sound good on the air. You need to call more often.
Okay, I might have to take you guys up on
that. Hey, always great to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks, man.
You didn't know that he was in a Halloween movie?
No, I had no idea. I honestly had no idea that Busta Rhymes was in a Halloween movie. Oh, the 2002 one?
George, here's how things kind of got sideways in that series. He was doing kung fu in that movie. Now, if
this is so real.
Okay, so yes, it's true. This isn't a spoiler because people have watched this. So Michael Myers is getting ready to do work. Okay, he's going to carve up his next victim. But right before he does, you got to watch this, George, because there's a guy that busts through the door. You know who that is? Busta. And he delivers the line, "Hey, Michael, trick or treat, MF-er." So he beats Michael Myers over the head with a shovel, and then he sets him on fire.
Wow. Uh-huh. So he's got a prominent role in it.
Mm-hmm.
Gary, I might watch this. I hate Halloween movies. I cannot stand this stuff, but this might be worth it. Is this on Netflix?
All that matters in this movie is that Busta Rhymes is doing kung fu. If you ever thought that a horror movie would have a rapper fighting Michael Myers and using kung fu, I deliver to you this movie.
Oh, it's on Netflix. This is so good. This is so good.
Oh, I think you can probably find it on YouTube. I mean, that little clip. There's about a minute scene in the movie where it's worth it.
I could just go. Okay. That's
yes.
Good. That's
just okay. Just go to YouTube. See what you did to us, Wisconsin? Hey, Michael, trick or treat, MF-er. Actually, in the power ranking of lines that you would say in your first encounter with Michael Myers, that's not a bad line.
That's up there.
Not a bad line. Yeah. Here is Brett. Brett, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Gary.
Hey, good afternoon, Brett.
Good afternoon, yeah. I guess lunch now, huh? I was just talking on the phone. I was going to say, I was kind of curious to see what the Illinois numbers come out to be like with the COVID test. And then the other thing that kind of, I guess, is dark COVID clouds hanging over all of us. And as much as we'd like to play, this may be a little blessing in disguise to keep our team healthy for the long term. But, you know, every team should have about four quarterbacks. And I'm just kind of confused as to why Wisconsin can't just Ron Kellogg a game like the rest of us have to every once in a while and why they get the special treatment. But, you know, I kind of get it. But that's all I really got to say.
Brett, thank you. All right, people will be responding to Brett in 3, 2, 1. So there is part of it, like the Big Ten doing daily testing. I do believe, I understand there is some laws, but for Wisconsin's purposes, I think for fellow Big Ten schools, we'd like to know, first and foremost, what was the situation with Graham Mertz? How he got the virus? There are coaches, we're all saying the same thing, and we repeat it over and over, respect the virus, do the right thing. Some of us are doing the right thing. Social distancing, wash your hands, wear a mask, be smart, and still test positive. And they're like, how did that happen? I mean, we know people that's happened to. And they're like, oh, okay. But I'm glad you're okay. Like to know, was there something post Friday night or prior to Friday night when Wisconsin played? I think that's important for Wisconsin. I think it's important for the Big Ten. I think it's important for sports that are trying to do testing while they're performing. I think it's important, definitely for the rest of the conference, to find out what went wrong and what can we learn from it. And is the Big Ten's protocol, where they have the daily testing, that they can effectively identify and isolate positive cases, that they can separate them so that you do not have a widespread outbreak? Until I see otherwise, I just, because of what's going on or what has gone on in the Wisconsin Athletic Department and the Wisconsin football program and in their county and in their state, and now this for the second time that Wisconsin has had to pause football activities, I think a big number is coming. Now, I'm not saying 50, but I think bigger than 12 is coming. And I know where we're all at. If it doesn't, you're going to wonder, okay. But Wisconsin, following what is set and forth of them in the Big Ten, and they know, they probably know more information that is being released. And so they are ahead of the game. They're being cautious, knowing that while you're all doing the math trying to figure out, all right, did they meet the threshold? How long? Is it just this week? Is it going to be multiple weeks? What's going on? They're looking and going, this could be bad. And so instead of letting Nebraska just hang around with the mental gymnastics, it's Wednesday, we just had practice, coach, are we going to play? They make the decision on Wednesday. And Paul Christ, testing positive, you know, just adds to Wisconsin's case. But I think those numbers will go a little bit higher. So we're bitter. Let's see, what did I use earlier? Bitter, angry, frustrated, disappointed. Am I missing a word to describe what everybody's feeling here if we're putting our finger on the pulse of social media and emails and calls, message boards?
You said frustrated. No, I think you got it all.
Wondering, curious.
Okay. Hmm?
I would like to, I'm not seeing anything, and maybe this is because the Big Ten is not responding, but there has to be. I can't be the only one that has inquired about, is there wiggle room in the schedule? I know there's not in the season, and that's ridiculous, but the division games are the most important games. Is there a way to rearrange the schedule? Everybody's flying charter, or they're busing for the most part. There are no fans. You can change things on the fly. We are seeing other conferences do that. Now, those other conferences, hey, they made the decision that we're not going to try and play 8 and 8 weeks. We're going to have a little wiggle room. So we know what we're up against. And we can manage trying to play our sport during a pandemic. But is there an opportunity to lop off a crossover game so that you get all of your division games in? That those six games, if you're only going to play six, they are in the division. You're not losing division games to the virus. November 14th, both Nebraska and Wisconsin each have a crossover game. Just saying. But as you would imagine, any phone calls to Rosemont, Illinois into the Big Ten office from the 402 area code either don't get picked up or returned. 1248. Next hour, Parker Gabriel. See, this just threw the whole show into... I mean, this is the day after a World Series.
It really did.
This is the day where I wanted to come in and wonder, how come we don't have a one shining moment at the end of a baseball season that last night would have been narrated by Vin Scully? And how great is it an ending in a World Series, if it's not a walk-off, like a Joe Carter, to have a called strike three like we had last night? And the even better move by Austin Barnes, the catcher of the Dodgers. He's a smart guy. He took that baseball and put it in his back pocket. Remember when there was a little bit of a scandal with the Red Sox when Doug Minkiewicz, he tried to steal the baseball after the Red Sox broke the curse?
Didn't the Cubs do that too?
No, Cubs never do anything like that. And there was no curse with the Cubs. But I did think that Kevin Cash might go to John Lester tonight, last night out of the bullpen. There's those weird decisions. This is the Gary Sharp Show. There's George. As I mentioned, Parker Gabriel is coming up at 1:30. Yeah, there's. I also wanted to. I was going to build up Luke McCaffrey and Casey Rogers. Their Q rating was through the roof yesterday. People are all on the. I mean, people are on the Luke McCaffrey bandwagon. Now they're like, Casey Rogers looks like what a defensive lineman should look like. Look at that goatee and listen to what he says. I'm going to run out and get me a 98 jersey. Not only good on the Q rating, but he was a pleasant surprise on the field. So we will get into non-COVID Nebraska football chatter in the next hour. Stay right there. It's the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.